Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 72, and this week's guest is Mark Pemlot. Mark comes to talk to us about his pinhole photography, his digital darkroom work, and shooting with his Hasselblad, and how it all ties together with pinhole photography. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 72. And as always, we have Andrew, the caravanning Bartram over here. How's it going, Andrew?
You're lucky to have me. That's all I can say. It could be a lot worse.
You came in out of the field just to...
I did. I came back from the Welsh marches, right? Hot-footed it back, kept looking. I even had to... we stopped for a Burger King, and I had to say, no, we've got to hurry up because I've got a podcast to do.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you didn't say 4 o'clock. I'm glad we changed it to 5. That's all I can say.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
So it's been a great week, and we're very relaxed. Yeah. And I took with me, for those of you who have seen posts, I took with me my Harman Titan 4x5 pinhole camera with the 72mm cone, which is...
wide.
Ooh, I guess that would be... Well, that's about 25mm, I guess,
normal wide,
35mm, 35mm times. Like maybe a little bit wider angle of view. Mm-hmm. And then I got another cone from our friend Mike Walker, 110, which is midway between that wide and normal, so that would be 110? I don't know, about 30-odd... 30-odd mil equivalent, something like that.
Yeah, 40, 740 like that.
Is it? Yeah, could be. Mm-hmm. So I don't... I shot mostly with the wider one because that was that's the one I was used to using, but I did use the longer one too. I had a subject and I set the tripod up and photographed them both, you know, with the same...
I don't know what I would use a longer one for unless I just had an absolute subject that just was like, you know...
Until I know a little bit more what it looks like, you know. So I photographed the same bit of farm machinery with both cones, and the idea then I'll be able to see. But I was using X-ray film all week, partly because I've run out of normal film, but partly because I've got a stack of the bloody stuff, so I need to get through it. And I like what people do with it, even though I can't reach their same heights. So it's been a fun week, and
that's good.
Yeah. You've been pinholing anything?
No, not really. This last week, I've had some infrared stuff loaded up, and I'm just about done shooting all that. So I'm kind of waiting for it to get back to the long shadows and the dark, dreary days of winter. You know, it's still crazy hot outside, so.
The weather's on the turn now. We've had a bit of a resurgence. It was very cold one morning in the caravan, but it soon gets hot in there when I put the heater on.
Yeah. I have a backlog of stuff I have to develop too, so I'm kind of been working on that a little bit.
Me too. I'm going to mix some Cafenol up. I'm going to mix some Cafenol up because I'm going to start with some FP4 negatives. I'm going to stick with my. I'm going to stick with the rod and all trade development for the X-ray film. Because I thought, I can put that Fuji X-ray film, I thought I can put it in the Stearman press thing. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, no, it's going to get marked, isn't it? Because of the double-sided emulsion, I reckon it's going to get... If I try to put that X-ray film in something...
Because it puts those weird kind of lines things on it, I know you're talking about.
Well, it can do. Yeah, it can do. Yeah. And that, normally they appear on the non-emulsion side and you don't see it in the image.
Mine always have it.
Yeah, I have a skillful technique, whereas you clearly don't.
Sorry.
And then I thought, I can put it in the Mod 54, but that'll be worse because I'm going to get those little fingers that hold the film.
Yeah,
they're going to be scraping on the emulsion, so I'm going to have to carry on with my tray developing.
Yeah,
but I need to get some glass. I've got a sheet of glass in one tray, and then a couple of sheets of old bits of thin plastic stuff and. And I think I need to get some nice 4mm glass with rounded edges. I'm going to go and have a word with my local glazier.
You do that.
And say, and take an 8x10 tray down there and say, can you cut me 3 or 4 bits of 4mm glass with rounded edges to fit in this tray, please?
It doesn't even need to be that thick, does it? 4 mil, that's kind of thick, isn't it? Doesn't it just
It is quite thick. I tend to use that thickness for contact printing.
Oh, because it's nice and heavy.
Because it's heavy.
Yeah.
And then if I've got, and then I know it's not going to break, you know? Mm.
Yeah.
And they tend to use offcuts of glass anyway, so they don't charge a lot, I think.
Oh, you know? Yeah, they have those little drops or scraps or whatever, so...
Yeah, and they can. I've used them before. They're just on the edge of our village. But the trouble is, you never know when they're going to be in or not, because it's like some old scrapyard they work out of, and sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
So different ways of exposing. If anyone out there is using, if anyone out there is using that double-sided X-ray film, and if they're doing anything other than tray developing, I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah.
Tanks and hangers might work, but I don't have any of those.
I don't have any of those either. Nope, none of those. Mark?
Do you have tanks and hangers?
Do you have tanks and hangers, Mark?
I don't. I listen to you guys talk all this technical stuff, and I just go out with a camera.
Cool.
Well, you do remarkably well, because you just go out with a camera.
So we have this week, we have Mark. Mark Kimlott is joining us. Mark, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Slightly nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous.
Corey's harmless. Don't be nervous of him.
There's only three or four people listening. There's not even this.
Yeah. Well, it'll be my family listening after this.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
That's normally the way.
Is
it? Family and friends.
Yeah. And Mark does a lot of photography, lens photography, and he does pinhole too. So, Mark, why don't you let everybody know a little bit about what you're into and how you got into pinhole photography and how it sits with you, you know?
Okay. So, I dabbled in doing a bit of art when I was younger, and then ended up doing accountancy, and somewhere I got lost in all of that, and ended up spending my life traveling between London and Leeds. But I ended up buying a camera, managed to drop it in a rock pool, and then bought another camera. This time I insured it, and it just never did it right for me.
Was this digital? Are you talking digital now, Mark, or film?
It was, yeah. So I had a Canon 5D Mark III. I'd never even done film or anything like that, and then I started to see some of Michael Kenner's work.
Yeah,
and then I bought a couple of Hasselblads. 500s and a 503 off eBay, and end up selling all my Canon stuff, and I just shot with that, and I love the kind of textures that you get from it.
Have you seen Michael Kenner's Holger work? He did a book all about Holger.
I have.
Holger photography.
Yeah, so I bought that book. Yep. I bought the book, and the book is just amazing, and it makes you realise that actually, and it was kind of part of all of this kind of, because I was going to buy a Holger. And then the problem with it is they just, I don't know. I saw something about from Andrew Aikinson, when he did the Toddcast, and I just thought, I love the work and I love the fact that it's just the simplicity of it all. And so now I try to carry a pinhole camera around all the time.
Yeah. Well, don't. Hello?
Pardon? Yeah, we're all still here.
I thought I dropped out again. I was going to say, don't go buy a Holger. You can just melt a bunch of plastic soda bottles down and make yourself one. But
well, no, I didn't even know about this until I started listening to your show, and it absolutely amazes me that all these guys are doing all sorts of things with it. And when I see your Facebook page and you see some of the images that people are doing, it is unbelievable. I love the simplicity of it, and it's actually not about the equipment, and it's just literally about a little box
and a light. And magic light.
Yeah.
So you're coming to this whole sort of film photography online community sort of quite late, aren't you? Just kind of diving in.
It's all right.
Yeah, it was about 2 years ago that I kind of moved into photography and bought a film camera and got rid of my gear. And I've literally bought a pinhole probably, I think it was earlier this year, it was about April, May. And so now I carry it around with me most of the time.
And you bought the zero image pinhole, one of those 6x6. Was it the 2000 model? Is that the one you bought?
It is. It is. So, I tend to shoot, sometimes put a red lens on.
I was just about to ask you, because I'm looking at your pictures right now, and I'm like, it looks like you're using some kind of filtration or...
Yeah, so I tend to use, and I know, Andrew, you don't like semi-stand development, but I tend to use Rodinol, and I float between Tri-X and FP4.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the grain that comes out of it.
Hmm.
And then just, you know, using a semi-stand development process, I like the results that come out of it.
Well, I've not really messed around too much with it, to be honest. I've tried full stand development, not had great results, but I think probably semi-stand, because you're giving some inversion.
I was going to say.
Are you just giving one in between or more than one?
I do about 10 seconds at about 30
minutes.
That's
what I do, so okay. I guess I'm doing semi-stand too. Yeah.
And so the problem with it is like at about 10 rolls of film that I've actually developed. So you can like do two if you kind of split it, but it's, you know, it's like an evening kind of doing it. But I do like the results from it. I think it gives you that kind of, I don't know, it makes the picture pop a little bit.
Yeah. I'm almost to the point of where I can do a full stand. But like my
agitation, can you do a handstand as well?
My agitation muscle reflex is just fighting me the whole time. Do you know what I mean? Like, go over there and shake it. You know, like I get through an hour, half an hour, and I'm like, I gotta do just one. So I'll do just one inversion and then leave it alone.
Well, I'm just about to dive into. I've dabbled a little bit with Cafenol, but I'm gonna make up some Cafenol this week and do some full stand development. Because I've seen some fabulous results with that, with some bromide in, potassium bromide, because that tends to help with uneven development, which can be a problem with stand development. Yeah. So I'm going to put one or two sheets of film in before I risk just doing six or four, you know, and see what it's like.
Yeah. So Mark, looking at your pinhole stuff, it seems like you, I guess you're at the coast, of course, but you like using the filters for those much longer exposures and the contrast. Is that?
To be honest, I haven't actually got an ND filter in it. I tend to get up really, really early in the morning. So when it's kind of like just sunrise or even the sort of like, what's it, just before the sunrise. And typically, you know, most of my exposures will be typically somewhere like, I don't know, anywhere between 2 minutes to 7 minutes.
Nice.
And the zero, I like about the zero image, well, I think it's the same with any of those pinhole cameras with just the one pinhole. You can certainly point them downwards to get distortion or point them upwards to get distortion. But you can also, when you just put it square and put it level and compose it classically, and you know, these are, your images are pretty classically composed. There's nothing sort of, you know, weird angly stuff and close up. So they're proper nice landscapes. And people talk about the rule of thirds and putting the horizon at the bottom or the top. But the more, I think this is what's always drawn me to the zero image. We had, who do we have on recently? Got my memory, where he was doing the portraits, Corey, with the figure right in the middle of the picture, with the landscape right through the middle. It almost forms a cross, doesn't it? He was bad as me. It was only a few shows ago.
Sorry.
Anyway, the zero image, because if you use it classically and compose it, you know, with the thing level, you get the horizon in the middle, because that's what happens with the center pinhole, and it works just great. You know, particularly you've got are you using a little frame, a viewfinder frame, piece of card or anything, Mark, or are you just going by your experience?
So I have got the little frame thing, but I've never used it. I've literally. We'll put the tripod up, set it on. I like leading lines.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I will literally put it in front. And I think the first few that I've got of the trees, you know, I think that was my first outing while on a dog walk early in the morning at about 5:30. And I kind of like took some pictures of the trees, and I didn't even know how close to be or how far away.
So the one you've got, so folks listening, we're doing our usual thing, talking about images, which by common consent is what you want us to keep doing, so we'll keep doing it. All the W's, Mark Pimlott, PIMLOTT.net, and in there you'll find Mark's pinhole gallery. Mm-hmm. And about two down, I think, after that fantastic little shot with a hut on the point. Side of the cliff.
Oh yeah, yeah, at Leap.
And then you've got this tree, which is a sort of two trunks, and it's kind of spreading across the middle of the picture, with some lovely vignetting and a glow around the tree. Mm. You've still got detail in the tree, which is
nice.
Wonderful. Yeah. So that, mm-hmm. How far away were you, do you think, when you took that picture?
In feet.
Yes, and inches. None of that meters stuff.
Do you know something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember. It was probably about a second or third shot I ever did with the pin.
Cool.
It was really misty. It was really and foggy. And in fact, I think when I took a picture of it and the sun was just coming up, I took a picture of the shot of me actually doing that picture and put it on Facebook, and someone went, "Oh, you need to be closer."
Probably me.
And when I looked at it, I actually was really pleased when I actually got around to developing it and sorting it out. So I was actually really pleased. And I think, like to say, semi-stand brings out the detail.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what you're doing, you're dealing with extremes of contrast, and stand or semi-stand or caffeinic acid that you find in caffeinol and pyrogallol and catechol, they're all compensating developers. So they all allow the highlights to gently build up density and even out the contrast, which I think is a trick, isn't it, here?
Mm-hmm.
Whether one knows what you're doing or not, but that's by using stand or semi-stand, I think it's a perfect partner for pinhole photography, really. And if I could be bothered, I'd do more of it myself.
Are you doing semi-stand development with your stuff you're doing with your Hasselblad, or are you just developing?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I did actually, which is interesting when you talk about caffeinol, because I did. I used to do it with D76 as well, and it was just really faffy. And one day I had a roll of film, and I did it with the D76, and I wondered if it was too old or whatever, but I was really disappointed with the results. And I went back to Rodinol and doing semi-stand, and I feel much, much happier with it.
If it works for you, and it clearly does, then don't, my advice is, don't change anything.
Don't it?
No, I quite like to try caffeinol.
Yeah.
That's something I'd like to have a go. Because I think some of the tones that come out of that I've seen the pictures
are really nice. Well, again, it's the same property. Particularly if you do, if you go to the caffeinol cookbook and download it as a PDF, there's lots of useful information in there. And there's the recipe caffeinol CL, which is and development. And you add a bit of potassium bromide in there, and that does help with giving you a nice clean image and minimal sort of staining or uneven tones. But it's acting like a compensating developer, like your Rodinol, heavily diluted. So it's the same thing, and it's and of course it's pretty non. You can drink it.
Knock yourself out
if you want. Or you know, we had Julie Thesander, whose name isn't pronounced anything like that. Last week she was using mint, wasn't she? Mint. And she did mint, mint developer with some vitamin C, maybe. Mm-hmm. I can't remember now. Yeah. And something else. But she had drunk it by mistake, and
she's kept on.
I don't think you'd want to drink. You don't want to drink your caffeinol, though, particularly after you've used it, because it will contain bits of silver and stuff. I don't know
how good it'll be with that washing set powder in it either. Might be kind of rough. Yeah.
So we love your compositions. And they, the coastal. How far away are you from the coast, Mark?
About an hour and a half.
And
So I'm more like to the Dales, so you know, near Skipton, right? Mm-hmm. North Leeds.
Yeah, yeah. But there's something about the seaside, isn't there, in pinhole photography, I have to say.
There is, and I think, like I say, it was Andrew Atkinson's pictures, you know, of Northumberland and things like that I've seen. That really struck a chord. And my parents lived down in the New Forest. So, hence, I went down there, and there's a boathouse down in Leap. And it's something I've been meaning to photograph. And so I ended up doing a number of shots down there.
Do you think you're going to... I love to get people's views on whether they like to work in single images, or do you think you're going to... Have you hit upon a subject or an area that you want to concentrate on to make more of a series of images? Or you... You know, where are you with or little projects you might be working on?
So, to be honest, I'm just trying to find time. So I have quite a demanding job, and it's just literally... You know, weekends or opportunities that I get
early mornings,
and hence why I've taken the dogs out early mornings.
Yeah,
to do it. But I have been visiting, like I say, my parents who live in the New Forest, and there is some areas that I've come up with, and when the tide's right, I think will be really good with a pinhole camera or long exposure with the kind of marshes and things like that. So there is some areas that. Opportunities are just—it's just about getting the conditions right.
These look as though you're out. Clearly, they have a very early morning feel to them. I'm looking at the other tree right at the end of that first sort of pinhole gallery.
Yeah,
the sort of single tree with even more of a glow around. Is there? Have we got sunlight coming through mist, or is that just the way it's turned out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that is. So that tree is not far from the other tree. Okay. And it's just so it's like a big field, and the other one's an oak tree, a distorted oak tree.
Oh, the one that looks like the one that looks like it's got two trunks. Maybe it has got.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it might even be three, actually.
Yeah.
But and this one is kind of like weird, and I photographed it in the snow with my Hasselblad, and I actually thought, right, I'll try it with a pinhole, and I think I was quite far away from it, but it seems to have worked.
Yeah. So the mantra. Get closer can work if you're going for, that. That's the thing that me and Corey like, which is, you know, things really close up because they appear. You know, you get that mega sharpness, particularly with a lot of these pinhole cameras produce their optimum sharpness really close up. You know,
we call it pinhole-y effect.
Yeah. All right. But I've got a massive admiration for people who use. Particularly the Zero camera for sort of almost classical landscapes because it just produces wonderful, wonderful results. And that's looking at people's work with Zero image cameras is what got me into pinhole photography.
And that shot with the tree, if you look over to the left, you have that little bit of that hill rise over there.
Is it hill? I don't
know. You can kind of make like those trees or some kind of texture on it. But if you didn't have it would be kind of really, you know.
But the developing is working really well, isn't it? I think, you know, just to maintain that detail. Are you, now, if I was, to me, you see, these look, I could imagine making beautiful prints with these, and I think I'd be playing around with some darkroom bleach and picking up the highlights. And are you, your processing skills in your electronic darkroom, presumably, Photoshop, or what are you using? Photoshop or Lightroom or something?
Yeah, so I'll scan it in on an Epson scanner, and then I'll just play around with some dodging and burning in Photoshop. And is it Silver Effects?
Oh, yeah, you see, this is where I go wrong. So this is why I'm rubbish at scanning, because I have Photoshop elephants, and you know, it's very basic elements, and I'm not even sure if I can do dodging and burning with it. All I tend to do is adjust the curves a bit, you know, brightness, bit of contrast adjustment. But
I don't think it's hardware, mate.
Do you think it's me? Can you do dodging and burning? You know, you guys might know this. Can you do dodging and burning like I do in the darkroom with my Photoshop Elements 14? Mm-hmm. Or do I have to have full-blown How do I do that?
I don't know if you can. I mean, it depends if you can change opacities and layer. Can you make layers?
Yeah, but I don't understand what they
layers,
are.
If you can make layers, then you can. Layers are the same thing as doing. You can manipulate each layer. So if you do something and you don't want to change that, make another layer, and then you can do it, and then you make another layer. You know.
Is he telling me right, Mark, or is he talking nonsense?
Well, I've not used Elements, but certainly in Photoshop, I would create. So rather than use, because it's got a dodge and burn tool in it, but I don't actually use that. What I do is create a dark exposure and I create a light exposure and I mask them both. And then with a pen on one of these kind of boards, I kind of like slowly blur them back in or take them out.
Yeah.
And then you kind of use that effect to bring it, to highlight the areas I want to or dampen down the bits that I don't.
So you're really, this is wonderful, isn't it? So anyone out there who says, I don't believe in, this is an old argument, post-processing. Look, stop it, okay? you're talking nonsense, because the negative is the starting point. I go in the dark room and I strive for, pictures that have the kind of life and lightness and depth that Mark's scanned images has. And he's using exactly the same techniques as I would use, but using those methods he's just described to me, which I've forgotten already because I just hate computers. But I'm in awe, really, of your dark Lightroom software skills.
Yeah, it takes a lot to do.
I suppose it's just, I don't know, there's some guys that are really good at it. I just try to get the feeling that I want out.
Yeah. Did you just teach yourself, or did you buy like Photoshop for Dummies or something?
No, I just picked it up myself and then I've just played around with it.
Yeah.
I have, though, actually, just recently, though, bought an Enlarger. Right.
Have you? All right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, and I recently popped into, I think it's called the Camera Photography Shop in Leeds. And met up with some guy.
Oh, is that the Real Camera? No, that's Manchester, isn't it? Sorry, I mean, you cut out a little bit then. What's the camera shop called in Leeds, Mark?
Now you put me on the spot.
I do that with Corey all the time.
I think it might be called something like the Leeds Camera Shop. Yeah. Camera Shop. I popped into there on, I think it was Thursday or Friday for the first time ever, because it came up on Facebook as somebody had mentioned about it. And they've got masses and masses of old cameras, but they had all this darkroom stuff as well. Ooh. And so the guy gave me a bit of a rundown of what I need in terms of different chemicals from negative development. So I think the aim is to go in and buy some paper, some Ilford paper, and some developer. I need to get a clock.
I counted elephants for years. If you're used to counting elephants, I've been counting elephants all week with my pinhole photography. I've gone back to counting elephants. I counted 2 minutes worth of elephants this week when I was exposing, and Julie was trying to talk to me. And I said, "Stop it! I'm counting elephants. Can't you see what's wrong with you?"
Was this in the caravan?
It does make you wonder, you know. Like, so I know I sometimes use an app for doing like working out the exposure, and particularly if I've got a red filter on it and whatever to set from that. But you know, if it's like 5 seconds, I wouldn't bother the timer. I'll just go 1,000, 2,000, so on.
Yes.
And then when you get into doing that 7 minutes, well, do you know what? Is it really that much difference between 7 minutes and six and a half?
Well, it's not, no, because you know, if you think about it, if you're adding a stop, if it's 7 minutes and you're adding a stop, you have to add another 7 minutes, so you're up to 14 minutes. So if 7 minutes to 8 minutes, it's only, you know, 1/7 of a stop or whatever. It's nothing really. So you have to be wildly off. You have to almost probably double the time to get a stop extra exposure. So yeah.
I'm interested. Reciprocity.
No, it's all a lie. It's all a lie promulgated by Fuji or something to sell more film. What enlarger have you bought, Mark?
I knew you were going to ask that. I don't know. It's a really old
metal. But it can presumably it can take medium format, or you bought a lemon?
No, I bought a 6x6 and made sure it was processed. But I think it's quite an old one. It begins with B. Is it Bessler?
Yeah. That's good. And you've got a space for your dark room, presumably, or?
No, not yet.
Bathroom type thing, but start off in bathrooms.
It's going to end up in the bathroom and take it from there.
Well, you know, I would start off by counting elephants in there. You know, even do your test strip. Do your test strip and count elephants. Just start off nice and simply with 5 seconds of test strips. Set your enlarger 2 or 3 stops down from the maximum and set a grade 2 filtration or no filtration at all, or give you grade 2. And then do your test strip and just count to start with, you know, and it's don't overcomplicate it to start with. And you'll find that it's the easiest thing in the world to get an image. And once you've got an image, then you're going to start wanting to do your manipulation in the same way that you do in Photoshop, Mark, you know. And then you might want to think, once you've got the bug, you might want to think about a timer that links with the enlarger. My one switches the light on and off. My one actually switches the safe lights on and off. And I can time things in stops and quarter stops and sixth of stops. And it can make a very subtle difference. But, you know, to start with, for a good year, I counted elephants. And there ain't anything wrong with that, I can assure you.
No, I shall endeavour to try it.
You'll get the bug.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're using computers. Are you sitting in front of a computer most days?
I'm an accountant, I do...
You sound quite an interesting guy for an accountant. What was that film where the accountant got really cross in a traffic? Yeah, no, it was called The Accountant, wasn't it? And he got a gun out and started shooting people.
It made us look quite glamorous.
Yeah. Who was in that? There was that British actor, wasn't it?
I'm glad he's close to you, not me, Andrew. I like on your Instagram page, though. It looks like, let me see what you're shooting with. I guess you're using your Hasselblad, but these pictures of maybe their flowers are dahlias, maybe?
Oh, the dahlias, yeah.
Those are awesome. You're a proper photographer, too. And this stump sticking out of the water that says reflection is a great picture.
And I'm looking at these. There's this one with the glints and grikes. Clints and grikes, are they? Like on the top of Malham Tarn. That's what it looks like to me. With a skeletal tree and an awesome sky and those limestone cracks, you know. It is limestone landscape, isn't it, I think? Do you know the one? Yeah. Is that on top of Malham Tarn? It looks like it should be.
Yeah, that's the famous one on Malham Tarn. But there is some more interesting trees that I think around on the flanks.
I'm just amazed, my friend, at your at this image. You know, it's
wow. This is the cool shot. You should look at this one called the Crooked Tree with the one tree, the snow, and then there's one little puffy cloud up on the right.
There's this crooked tree. In fact, I need to get the farm's permission, but I want to see about some other angles around one. But yeah, no, that's just up the road from where I live.
Is that what you guys call it?
They're all crackers. And you're taking the raw image and using the process that you've sort of described a little while ago. Is you're actually taking when you're composing your pictures? Are you seeing now the sort of in your mind? Are you into sort of visualizing the result, and then you're positively working towards that using your Photoshop techniques.
Yes. So, I'll go to Northumberland and take pictures when I'll go at winter time. So, at the moment, I've gone a bit quiet because it's been really, really nice weather in England.
Oh, you don't want to go out in the sunshine, do you? It's awful stuff, really.
It's horrible, I'm telling you.
So in fact, I've actually bought a light recently, a big light and a softbox. And my idea was to actually go out at night time. In some woods nearby where I live to do some photography at night, because we're just not, at the moment, we're just not getting the weather to kind of give that nice, you know, kind of stormy, moody feel. And it's something like that which I capture and I try to then emphasize in my pictures.
Yeah, I mean, the more I've moved away from pinhole now, I'm now looking at my, well, Norfolk Broadshot. So it's my, you know, I'm Great Yarmouth is my hometown. So it's quite sure if I've been to St. Bennet's Abbey. So there's a shot on your, I've just found on your Instagram. Yeah. Not too far down. Oh, November the 6th, 2018, of St. Bennet's Abbey with this just brilliant sky again, you know. So, and the light, and the light strike. So the light striking the brickwork. You see, if I was making a darkroom print with this, and I'm not sure I could, equal this with a, in a darkroom, to be truthful. But I would probably look to pick up some local contrast with some darkroom bleach, and it, it does a good job of enhancing micro contrast around the arches. And I mean, with your Photoshop skills, is that where the light around this arch, the white, it's almost glowing, isn't it? Are you picking on those details and just bringing those up and lightening those areas to pick up the light?
Yeah, and so silver effects allows you to go in, so it's like an add-in.
Is that what they call a plug-in, or have I just made that up?
Yeah. No, it's a plug-in.
There you go, Andrew. You're in.
So what it allows you to do is it allows you to concentrate on areas, and you can add a bit more texture and structure to it, or you can make it less contrasty. You can make it brighter. You can emphasize the whites. You can So you can play around with a number of different factors. So you can pull out details or make them disappear.
You're getting very good at it, Mark.
You're not bad. Yeah. So my trouble is for years, the only computer I've had in the house is a laptop that is for work as well, and they're getting more and more restrictive on what you can put on. You know, I had to talk really nicely just to have Photoshop Elements put on. So I'm going to have to invest, particularly when I stop work, I'm going to have to invest in something. And I may get into this a little bit more, but I don't want to spend hours in front of the computer, Mark, when I can go into the darkroom, which is where my true love lies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think if I could develop this and do this in the dark room, I'd be. That's ultimately where I'd like to have a go. It'd be nice to produce some prints and
photographic, you know. For some of these, this one back on your pinhole page, Mark. So you've got the first one, then you've got the oak trees, then you've got the bit of breakwater thing, and then you've got another hut. Yeah, white hut. With leading lines to it, so I think it's the fourth one down. There's a white hut right on the water's edge.
Yeah.
And you've got this, what would be the waves kind of breaking in the fall all the way down, leading your eye in where it's just been picked out in lighter tones. Now that's a classic thing you can use in the darkroom when you get round to it. Is potassium ferricyanide, very dilute. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Don't drink it. Photographers. Bleach, otherwise known as liquid sunshine, Mark. So instead of silver effects, you get a very dilute bit of liquid sunshine with a piece of cotton wool, and you would just gently follow that line with the liquid sunshine, and you get a very, very similar result. So I don't know whether it's easier to use a bit of photographer's bleach and cotton wool or go into silver effects. But the bleach, using your hands to craft it, is something I think you'll probably enjoy, mate. I think from what I see of your work here.
Well, I think that was the thing that put me off about digital, because you end up shooting loads of pictures and they were never quite right. Where I think with film, it makes you choose your image better.
Sure. And also, don't do what I do. And ever. End up buying loads of cameras, Mark. You know, stick. I think you've done the right thing. You've bought a decent square. Square's obviously your thing, and absolutely, it's brilliant. You've got your Hasselblad for your film, and you've got your Zero Image. So don't be tempted to go out and buy thousands of other pinhole cameras. If you want to make one, then do that. But I think because you've got so little choice in your use of tools, haven't you? You know, you've got your Zero Image, you've got your Hasselblad. You're immediately making life easy for yourself, you know, and I bang on about it all the time. One or two films, you're using a standard developing regime. Don't chop and change, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I like the fact that it forces me to do shoot square, and I like the fact that it's black and white.
And I love the fact you're using the Zero Image, you're using it to, you know, to place things classically, but you've got horizons right through the middle of the picture, which all when you go to camera clubs and you put that up and said, oh, you've got to have the horizon on the thirds. Well, don't listen to them because you know these work brilliantly, and I think the more I think about the zero camera, you know, that's the strength of it. And I think, you know, yeah, it's rise and falls can be useful to have on pinhole cameras, but there's something very simplistic and pure about, you know, the way you're composing.
Don't start biting on Mark's style now, Andrew. And
stealing his style. I tell you who I've mentioned him on the show before. The guy who got me into pinhole photography through his book is Steve Gosling.
Yeah.
And Steve Gosling produced a book called Lensless Landscapes. And your images are very reminiscent of them. And I think Andrew and Ian Burton, that's who I was trying, not Neil Burton, Ian Burton. I think they were both influenced by Steve Gosling as well. So if you can get a copy of Steve Gosling's book called Lensless Landscapes, he uses a zero image, or he did anyway, and mainly Pan F, I think. And he, most of his images are sepia toned, but very, very reminiscent in the same sort of style as what you're doing. Love it.
Yeah, I'll have to
check him out.
I'll have to check him out.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'd never even thought about it until you've just mentioned it now, and I'm thinking, bloody hell. You're right.
There you go.
But you don't think about it. The only way you can move the horizon is to either have your camera not square, you know, so, and then you get some, you'll introduce some distortion, your horizon would appear curved. Or you have a camera with a rise and fall setting, so you can use an upper pinhole or a lower pinhole to shift the horizon. But again, you know, you're introducing more variables, and this is just so simple and
easy.
Lovely.
Yeah, I mean, just not easy, but I mean,
what I like about the Zero 2000 is the fact that you can put lenses on, you know, like, as it, not lenses, but you know, like filters.
Well, you've got the latest one. My one was about 17 years old, and it's just got the shutter on, you know, the wooden shutter. I've got a cable release thing on it, but
you can add a filter ring to it, Andrew.
Can you even my old one?
Yeah,
can you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can. Yeah.
Well, I can use my reality. My reality's got a filter ring on it. All right.
Yeah. Yep. If you have the F.
So it'd be really interesting to, once you start getting it, share some of your darkroom as you start getting into the printing. You know, post some stuff onto the Lensless Podcast Facebook group.
Will do.
You know, and share your trials and tribulations. If you need help, just shout out to, you know, me or someone else. Any advice?
No, there's
awesome.
There's some great guys on there.
Speaking of Facebook group, Andrew, what's going on with the Facebook group?
Absolutely. No, I did tell you before we started that I hadn't had time to do news from the Facebook group.
I'm just joking.
As I pulled up with the caravan not half an hour ago. No, an hour ago.
Well,
I'm really itching to get on with developing, to be honest, but it won't be tonight. It'll be tomorrow.
We probably talk around the Facebook group is probably going to be the little zine that we made.
It's going to be an annual event, we hope.
Hopefully,
is that right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, planning on it.
So tell people about the zine, because they would have seen reference to it.
Well, it's just a zine that we did for the show, and we just invited kind of random people, actually. We, 15, there's 15 of us, 13 including, or 12 including me, you, Andrew, and Daniel, Daniel Novak, who put it all
together. Did
a lot of work. So we have,
and he's got it on his website. He's got it on his danielnovak.com or something website, hasn't he?
And I'll have the link for that in the show notes, so that if anybody would like to pick one up, you can. I think he's charging $5 with shipping, I think is what it is. I'm not sure about that. I think that's what it was.
And coffee donators, they get chucked a copy, do they? But even if they live right around the world, how's that working out?
Well, what I'm going to do postage. Is we, I think Daniel is shipping them. If you purchase them, then he's shipping them anywhere. Okay. And I only have X amount of copies, you know, for, so whoever's donated, you know, I'll be sending one to you until I run out, you know, and then I'll keep track of where I lost place at, you know, and then whenever we do the next thing, I'll pick up so that make sure everybody gets something, you know. Because we only got so many made because we weren't sure how or who or how many, you know what I mean? So if we have to, we can do another run if we need to. So,
well, yeah. I think potentially a pinhole zine of folks' work is really attractive. I mean, it would be lovely to do an open call, but if you do an open call, then you do get flooded. Then we've got to pare them down and some people get in and some people don't.
Yeah, so I don't want it to be the situation of having to pick who's better than this person or, you know, I mean, getting into that situation. So next time we do one, we'll just invite 12 or 13 different people, you know, and just kind of keep it rotating, you know. So, yeah. But we have those available and they're ready to go. I haven't said anything about it. We've kind of kept it quiet because I'm kind of a superstitious person. And if I start talking about it, it's going to get jinxed and then, you know, something will happen and then they won't ever show up, you know, or whatever, you know how that goes. So we kind of just,
I feel a bit sorry for poor old Kai Lewis. Cause I think you must've invited, did I invite her or you invited her? And she either didn't read the email or forgot about it. Cause
for
she's
what?
for the zine.
I think she probably
was. Cause she messaged me and said, "Oh, I forgot all about this. Is it too late to send some images over?" I said, "Yeah, sorry.
We'll get you print. Next time, Kai. You'll be in there. Don't worry."
Sorry, Kai.
Same with James. James Guerin sent me some pictures, and I picked, you know, more than people than I needed, only because I knew that some people might not show up, you know, whatever, and that we're trying to get it to Daniel. So a couple people submitted some stuff.
It'll happen.
And so
issue have your issue images. Two. Issue two.
Yeah, so sorry, James.
Hang in there.
And James had wonderful images.
I'm sure Kai did too.
Yeah,
this is the trouble. There's just they've all, but you know, it can.
Everybody's
let's
so
see how it goes.
Today.
I mean, next time we might be able to make it slightly thicker. You know? Depends how the funding goes and how the sales go
Maybe get into doing expanding it a bit and maybe starting with some color. And even coming up with a theme for, you know, each one. So,
I think that would be a really good idea.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah, themes. Yep. Themes would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. How do you think about something that, Mark? Would you submit for us?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'd certainly buy one.
We'll, all of the links are going to be in the show notes. And also, in October, we have Holga Week coming, so get ready.
Yeah,
so, Mark. Maybe
is it like? So I haven't. Even though the Lensless Podcast is judging, in terms of participating, I haven't looked at. I probably won't participate as I'm judging, but I was going to look and see what was involved because I don't know how different it was to previous years. But with Polaroid Week, which I'm really into in a big way, you submit an image each up to three images. Two or three images each day, two images each day for that week. Is that how it works with Holga Week, Corey? Do you know? Do you submit images daily or can you submit images daily?
I don't know.
We should know, really, shouldn't we? Do apologize, folks.
I don't know. I haven't actually
anyway, if you type in
fine detail. I need to go read it,
Yeah, if you go onto Twitter or go into the Google and type in Holga Week 2019, where are we? 2019,
yeah.
Yeah, and they're having very
all
soon
week is 2019.
T-shirts,
yeah,
and
buttons.
Bags and other buttons.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
So
good stuff, that's what I say. It looks like Holga Week has been reinvigorated, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And did you get this?
All
guess who
to
I'm
Mr.
sending?
Holga.
Guess who? Oh, that's. I've just had the cricket come on. You don't want to listen to that.
Yeah, not really.
Guess who I'm sending a Holger pinhole camera to because he hasn't got one to use for Holger week?
Who?
Neil Piper.
Mr. Bull himself. The bull stops here.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a Holger? I thought he had a Holger.
He doesn't have a Holger pinhole camera, no. So I'm sending him one of my Holger wide pinhole cameras to play with.
Oh, you're not going to send him a regular pinhole? I mean, a regular Holger to try?
No, I've got a few Holgers, one of which I've got in pieces ready to modify as a pin Holger. But I don't have a off the shelf Holger pinhole camera.
What are you doing with your life, Andrew?
Caravanning, mate. Yeah. Caravanning and
pinholing
while I'm away.
You're blowing it.
Yeah. So tell you what, it's the life. I've started the new hashtag called Caravan Life. Hashtag Caravan Life. Yeah. Are you following me?
If you don't have a Holger, you're blowing it. You're blowing your life. You started a hashtag for what?
Caravan Life.
Caravan Life.
Hashtag Caravan Life. Yeah.
Did you really? Yeah.
Mm.
It's not going to catch on.
Do you not think?
I'll look it up.
You know when you're driving from through Wales with your caravan on, with like a big queue of cars behind you?
It might have been.
Andrew is that guy.
Are you one of those guys who say,
come on.
Get out of the way.
You
fucking caravan drivers. But I've got quite a powerful, I've got a Volvo SUV, and actually I can pull away pretty quickly, and some of those people who I end up pulling away quickly and they can't overtake me because I'm still pulling away quickly. I thought, no, that'll teach you, won't it? But yeah, no, there were quite a lot of caravans around on the Welsh borders today as we were coming home. It must be a good time for old people to take holidays because all those screaming kids are back at school, aren't they, you know? And the curmudgeonly old sods like me can come out with caravans and block the roads up and make life hell for the rest of you.
Before I forget, I need to say, well, we need to say, but I'm going to say it. Thank you to Gretchen Hayhurst.
Hello, Gretchen.
Masumi Yamamura.
He's been both guests.
And Christian, I'm going to say your last name wrong. I'm sorry, Christian, but...
Horner, Christian Schaus, Horner.
Schaus.
Oh yeah.
Paus.
Yep.
Schaus.
Could
Schaus.
Be.
Schaus.
Not Christian Horner then.
No, it's not Christian Horner. It's the other Christian. Thank you, Christian. Thank you, Gretchen. And thank you.
And thank you,
Masumi.
Yeah.
For donating and chipping in. Yep.
All of whom? Well, I'm certainly familiar with Masumi's and Gretchen's work. Excellent pinhole photographers.
Yeah. So it's good.
If you don't know the mark, if you don't know Gretchen Hayhurst and Masumi,
look them up.
They've both been on the show and some great work.
And if you don't know Christian, look him up too.
I will do. Now you've mentioned him. Yeah.
But thanks to those everyone for chipping in and throwing us a couple.
Have you enjoyed
bones
yourself? Have you enjoyed yourself? Have you enjoyed
clams,
yourself, Mark?
I have actually, and I've got to say, I think you do a great
thank
job,
you.
Both of you.
Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You very much. Yeah. You know, we ramble on. Well, I do anyway.
Yeah.
No, but that adds to the tone of it.
Good. Well, you've been a great guest, and I'm blown away by your darkroom skills on the computer.
And your photography skills in general.
So when I get... so what we'll do, Mark...
Thanks,
I'll, Corey. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. So when I get a decent copy of Photoshop and then buy my Silver FX plugin, see the terminology I'm using? Mm-hmm. I'll hit you up. I'll hit you up for some tutorials, and then you can hit me up for some darkroom tutorials. How's that work?
Yeah. No, that sounds fair. Actually, that sounds great. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Good.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for hanging out and. Having a listen,
putting up with us for another show. Yeah, 72 show. 72 we're at now.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And the link for the coffee account will be in the show notes. There will be a link there for Daniel, so you can find the zine, and there will be a link in there for information to Holger Week.
But before we go, Mark, where can people find your images to look at and admire?
So I've got my own website, www.markpimlott.net. I'm on Instagram, Mark Pimlott. Funny enough, on Facebook, Mark Pimlott.
Yep.
And in fact, just actually, the tree actually you mentioned earlier on, got an honourable mention on Art Limited. That's quite a nice French website that does a lot of fine art. Nice.
Oh yeah, French website, fine art. Mm. we know. Yeah.
And yeah, so they do some. There's some quite a few pinhole photography on there. So yeah.
No, what was that called again?
Congratulations. Art Limited.
Art Limited.net.
Okay, cool. I'll put that in the show notes too, so everybody can go have a look.
Alrighty. Well, good. Andrew, you can go back to gallivanting around with your caravan now. Thanks for coming in and taking a shower.
Thanks for stopping by. Well, yes, I will be missing another show fairly soon as we head up to Whitby, which is very close to Mark. So if Mark's around, I'll give him a shout out and see if he can...
Give us a shout. I might even pop over.
That'd be cool. Yep. Okay.
All right. Well... Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you again soon. Thanks again, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Cheers, guys. Bye. Thanks very much. Bye.
Okay.
Mark, don't give him your address, or you're just going to look outside and then there's going to be a caravan.
We're camping Friday week. Not this coming Friday after.